Okay.
I'm just wondering, before we go any further, Chairman, if we might introduce Jeff
as the
monitoring officer, and touch briefly on the operation of the board,
as to
in the conversations that you had been having with the chief exec. I had a catch up with Jeff as new monitoring officer to the Isle of Wight Council the other day, and we were just talking about the way that the board is set up and the questions that you asked John and John has asked Jeff. So I just wondered, Jeff, if you might want to...
Yes, well, thank you very much for inviting me, first of all, because as you may know, I'm undertaking an extensive review of the council's constitution, and one of the elements that we brought to my attention, and I had a really good conversation with Joe last week, was the role of this board. And to absolutely nail down precisely in the constitution what it is and what it isn't, importantly, and to make sure it's defined clearly and adequately, which may or may not be how it is at the moment. And I'm just starting on that journey, so I'm getting some soundings from various people. It'd be really good to have your views here today so that I can properly reflect those when I review the constitution in this particular area. So I'm really just here in listening mode as much as anything today, just to basically pick up on your own thoughts and views as to how you would like the role of the board reflected. I can then take that away, make sure it matches up with the legislative and regulatory requirements, and bring something back to the board for you to have a look at.
Okay, that sounds good. So do we want to talk about our views now, or do that later?
That would be great, just as you wish, but that would be really good for me to hear that. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I think we've had sort of a number of views, haven't we, about how we'd like it to be run, but we were feeling a rather restricted, I think it's fair to say, as we felt it was being run as another arm of the committee of the council. But I don't know if you want to say anything else, Barbara?
Okay. I've been on the board since it was created, and this has sort of been one of my little pet issues that I've tried to progress over the years. We are run as a through democratic services, and that we feel that that sort of stymies a lot of our ability to be topical on things, to progress things quickly. The agendas are set well in advance. We feel we don't have a lot of control over the agendas. The element of any other business should come into the pension board, because we've been to a conference last week and there were topics that came up, things that we need to discuss and possibly put in work plans, and we need to be more proactive than what the democratic service framework allows us to be. I know we're in the constitution, written in basically as a committee, even though then it says that we're under pension legislation. I mean, it's a conflict, because one thing saying we're a committee, the other thing saying we're not. And my own personal view is that I don't think the terms of reference should be in the constitution at all. There can be a reference. The statutory responsibility of the local authority or the administering authority is to set up a pension board, not necessarily to regulate the terms and conditions. And by having the terms and conditions in the constitution, we've decided that we'd like to progress having an independent chair. Our terms and conditions don't allow that, and we can't progress it until it goes through full council and the constitution is changed. Now that, it's, I think we're tied up too much with Isle of Wight Council as Isle of Wight Council rather than being an independent Isle of Wight pension fund at arm's length. I could see having a reference to us in the constitution, but have the maybe a description of what we are, how we were constituted, but not subject to the constitution, where we have to go through the whole process for change, because we are independent. We are not our white council. We are independent board. Okay.
Very clear. Very helpful. Completely understand where you're coming from.
If there's only one other pension board in the country, FIRAS is a committee of the relevant council, and all the others are independent boards. Apparently, Hampshire and Portsmouth are, but they've got permission from the Secretary of State. So obviously, like you're saying, and then you started off, I think you're putting the cart before the horse. Either it's right or wrong to have us as a committee of the council, or it's not. If it's right, well, that's fair enough. If you come up with the legislation and the proof, we'll accept that. But at the moment, we're in limbo. We don't know. And every time we say, oh, we'd like to do this or do that, or you can't budget, there's always some thing that sort of holding us back as to be performed properly as we feel we should. And then there's a big queue all the way down the corridor with people waiting to get on this board. it's exactly the opposite. So I think you've got, and I might say I'm being big-headed, but you've got four people who's willing to work with it and make it work for the benefit of the council and for all the pensioners. That probably includes yourself. Why don't you just tell us whether we're right, we've got it all wrong, the pension regulator got it wrong, and this council got it right, and then we'll accept that and carry on as we are. But at the moment, we don't feel we're being right. And you can't have a body of people working under some sort of apprehension that they don't feel right. Because there isn't, it's not an easy job. All right, that's it, Mark.
That's really helpful, thank you.
I mean, the Hampshire scenario, I think it's Hampshire, and I think Haringey is the other one that is a combined pension board and committee. But that's a very special set of legislation. They were given special permission by the Secretary of State to form, mm-hmm. and they have quite unique terms of references, where the two terms of references are together, but they're separate because the board has a separate responsibility to the committee. But we're not under that, and the Secretary of State, in my opinion, would never approve that. They've approved it as an experiment.
You're saying that pension fund committee and their board are somehow merged?
Yes, if they have one.
How can they perform their respective?
Exactly.
They have two separate terms of reference joined together, but it's, they did it as an experiment, and I don't think that they would roll it out any further.
It's just to put a bit of context onto that, Jeff. The regulations that set up the board, the Public Service Pensions Act, do say that in certain instances, with a full approval of the Secretary of State, the board and the committee, the 101 committee and the pension board, could be the same body. But there needs to be a full business case. Mm-hmm. Hampshire did it from the very, very start. They challenged, they put a business case together, and it was accepted. I think Haringey did do it as a kind of, after a couple of years, they merged. Yeah. But I don't think that one's working particularly well. I can't comment on the Hampshire one. It operates the way that it does. But my concern with that would be the board is kind of critical friend, supportive challenge, scrutiny-ish,
board is
but
a
not
scrutiny,
quite.
Performs a scrutiny function, and you can't perform that role if you're hand in glove with the committee you're meant to be scrutinising.
Yeah.
From my sort of colleagues in Unison, I go to the South East Forum for pension board representatives, and from what I hear from Hampshire, the board is always stymied by the committee. In Hampshire, that's their opinion. Yeah.
You've got to retain your independence and separation from the committee that you're charged with reviewing.
Yeah.
And to answer your question, Richard, you're not a committee of the council. You shouldn't be set up as one. And that I will make that clear when I conduct my review. And there's no reason not to address that head on and make that absolutely abundantly clear. In terms of the agility and the flexibility and the board's ability to set its own agenda, appoint its own chairman, etc., we can look at that as well. The administrative support that you currently get from Democratic Services is something we can look at. It's been a convenience, if you like, with limited resources in the authority for the board to reside with Democratic Services because of their skills in preparing necessary paperwork. People like Megan here supporting the board is that they have unique skills within that area, but it doesn't mean to say necessarily that the board has to be then treated in the same way as committees of the council in terms of publishing its agendas far in advance and not being able to adapt and revise them as you approach a meeting date to respond to circumstances. And so this is all, I mean, the fundamental thing is its status, and I think getting that right is a fundamental starting point. What is the status of this board? Where does it fit within the constitution, if at all? And then looking at how it's supported and administered and enabled to do its job is the next layer, if you like. But sorry, I've not got around to Trevor and your thoughts.
Well, I'm quite sort of new to this, so I'm really sort of take Barbara as a leader.
That's fine. I just wondered if you had any other thoughts that you wanted to feed into the discussion.
Thank you.
Anything from you, Tracy, that I should pick up on?
Well, I think just what Barbara and Reg have mentioned, really, just feeling that we just really wanted to know where we stand with this whole process. And I guess one other thing we probably would look at is whether this, because we have to take, I think when we've talked about our agendas before, there's the feeling of whether it's a public meeting, you have to have something planned in quite an advance.
Yes. And I think that's where this has been caught up in, if it's like in the standardisation of the process here. This isn't a public meeting. There's no requirement for anything to be published or for the public to be enabled to attend these board meetings. So we'll look at that, absolutely.
That's something that I think we've talked about. I know most pension boards are open to the public. I think Norfolk, in the access group, I think Norfolk is the only one that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've got it right, because how many companies have public meetings for everyone? It's open to their shareholders. And this should be open to pension board members and employers, but not necessarily the public. I mean, as a pensioner, I don't particularly want Joe Bloggs down the road coming in and putting his 2 cents in worth about how my pension is going. You know, it's not relevant to him, and it's our pension. It's not the public's.
Mm.
Excellent. Okay. Well, what I'm proposing to do is have a look at all of these issues in the round, and with your permission, I'd feedback through Joe in the first instance. We will put together something which then we can share with members of the board, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Before then it goes forward into the overall constitutional review, because we want to get this right for you. And I'm taking your point, Reg, about, you know, there's not exactly a queue of people out there waiting to take on this role. We want to, you know, listen to you and reflect what you're saying and put it into the context of the legislative framework, and clear this with you as a board before we then take it any further.
That'd be really helpful. Thank you.
Is that all right?
That'd be great. Thank you. Okay. So we've looked at the minute.